I won't know if you're with me this morning or not unless you shout. Amen. That was one of those times, you know, you hurry in and you forget the most important part. When you get as old as I am, there's lots of extra parts. You know, I tell people all the time, you know, I'm glad I'm not going to be left behind when the rapture takes place. Do you ever think about all of these artificial parts that are going to start falling from the air? Artificial knees, artificial hips, artificial shoulders, artificial a lot of things that I won't even go into. Amen. But I'm glad that Christianity is not artificial. Amen. It is with some people. It was with me. Because I wasn't saved, I was a lost church member. So it was all hypocrisy, artificial. But I'm glad that God settled that, amen? And I was thinking as she was singing, and that song, I'm glad she chose that song, Peace. When the Lord saved me, I was a lost church member. I was working to try to get to heaven. I was so tired. I wanted out of it, but I wanted in, and I was totally confused. But when the Lord came into my heart that night, 56 years ago, April 1963, when the Lord came into my heart, the one thing that has stayed, and the one thing that has stayed me is the peace of God. Amen. The peace of God. It was just like the night that I got saved. There's a lot of things you can say about your salvation experience. But the one thing that the scripture that stands out in my mind, well, the night that I was saved, as the preacher was, he used the verse, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You know, rest and peace are synonymous. Amen. And so that night when I fell on my knees and I cried out, I can tell you the prayer I prayed. Doesn't matter, the prayer doesn't save you. Amen. But the prayer I prayed that night was not that sinner's prayer that I'd prayed years ago with another preacher. But that night I didn't need anyone to show me what to pray. My pastor, when I went forward, he said, Jim, why did you come? I said, I want to be saved. He said, you know what to do? I said, yes, sir. He said, you want me to help you? I said, no, sir. Don't need any help. I know what I need.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I fell on my knees and I cried out to the Lord and I said, Lord, I've tried every way I know how to be a Christian and none of them worked. And I want Jesus to come into my heart. Forgive me my sins and save my wretched soul. And it was like open heart surgery.
Yeah.
Open heart surgery. And peace flooded my soul. And that peace has never left me. The only time that it even troubles me is when I'm not doing the right thing. But I don't lose the peace, but I lose the satisfaction of that peace. I want to speak to you this morning, and I want to say I'm thankful for this meeting. I'm thankful for the school of prayer. It's such a blessing. Amen. Back years ago when Brother Wilbur Hurt was having the meeting, and Brother A.C. Durham, and we'd meet together, and we'd have prayer, there'd just be a lesson from the Word of God on prayer, walking with the Lord. That was Brother Hurt used to call it his morning watch. His morning watch, you know. And that walk with the Lord in the morning is so important. Amen. We do it different ways. Your way might not be my way, and my way is certainly not going to be your way, but we need to walk with the Lord, amen? But we need to walk with the Lord all the time, 24-7, amen? We don't put him on the shelf and then go back. We walk with him 24-7. That's why Paul could say, pray without ceasing. Praying without ceasing is an awareness, a constant awareness of His presence. And boy, when I lose that awareness of His presence, I know I'm in trouble. And that's when I have to run back and get recharged, amen. God is in the charging business, amen. Well, I want to ask you a question, and I don't mean to be offensive when I ask it. Why are you here this morning? Why are you here? Why did you come? Have you thought about that? Why am I here this morning? Well, I want to speak to you this morning out of the book of 1 Peter chapter number 4. 1 Peter chapter number 4. And we're going to look at verses 1 through the entire chapter, 1 through 19. And then we're going to settle in on verse number 11. Now, I need to get through because what time do I need to be finished, brother? Okay. We have another speaker though, right? Yeah. Okay, I don't want to take anyone else's time, but I want to give you all I can while I'm here. Amen. Let's stand together in respect to the reading of God's Word. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banqueting, and abominable idolatries. Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess or riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But at the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves. And that word charity, of course, as you know, is the same as the word love. For love or charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Use hospitality one of another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fried trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice in so much as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is what? Glorified. Let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, pardon me, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first began at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous sacrifice, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the weeping of their souls to Him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. I want you to look at verse number 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. Amen? Not my ability, but His ability, which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Question. What is the chief purpose of man? You'll find all the way through, especially the New Testament, but also in the Old Testament, you'll find that the purpose of man is to glorify God. That's the one thing that is all the way through the Scripture that pertains to man, is that we were put here in the beginning to be to the praise of His glory, is the way Paul put it. That we are to be to the praise of His glory. And man's chief and primary purpose for existence is to glorify and to enjoy the presence of the Lord. Amen. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Before we were saved, we did not enjoy His presence all that much. Amen? We tremble at His presence. If you were a sinner, and you were, amen, we all are, but thank God we're saved sinners now, and I trust that looking out over this congregation this morning, and this being Monday morning, I'd say that most folks here are saved, although I am not going to pronounce you that. Amen. Because that's what happened to me the first time. The pastor, when I went forward in invitation, 17 years old, went forward in the invitation. Preacher said to me, and this is a different pastor now than what I was saved under, but he said to me, "Why did you come?" And I said, "Well, I want to be saved." And he said, "All right, let's pray." I said, "I don't know how to pray." He said, "Well, just pray what I tell you to pray." And so we went through the sinner's prayer. Now, there's nothing wrong with the sinner's prayer as long as it's prayed from a right heart and for a right reason. Amen? So I want to get that out of the way. There's nothing wrong with the sinner's prayer, but if you are depending upon a prayer that you prayed to save you, then friend, you're not saved. Amen? The prayer didn't save you. It's the means by which we receive salvation, amen, but the prayer is not. If that's true, then why did Jesus die on the cross? Amen. It was a waste of His blood. If praying could save us, amen, or anything else as far as that's concerned, amen. And so, pardon me, got a little problem this morning. Sorry about that. It's this Iowa air. It's too fresh. I'm used to the smoke and all of the pollution in St. Louis. Anyway, it's ours to be to the praise of His glory and to enjoy the presence of God forever. Amen? Amen. Not for just a little while, but forever. Amen. And so, we look at this morning. There's a twofold purpose that we have in our creation: to glorify God and to enjoy God. Amen. Because God made us to have fellowship with Him. And so, first of all, I want to turn our attention to this matter of glorifying God. The Bible said in verse 11 that God in all things be glorified. The glory of God is a silver thread which must run through all of our actions. Thank you so much. And 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to what?" Say it with me. The glory of God. Amen. The glory of God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 says, all things work together for good to those that love the Lord, those that are called according to His purpose. And so everything that happens in our life is either for His glory and for our good. Amen? For His glory and our God. And so we believe also that God will get glory to Himself in all things. We'll either get glory from the life that you live, or He'll get glory from the death that you die. Amen? Amen. Either by the life that you got a choice. You can live for God and be as He told us in the commandments, honoring our father and our mother so it might be well with us and we have long life upon the earth. Amen? And so if you don't want to honor dad and mom, well, you can just go on home now, you know. I mean, that's the way it is. And so it's the same with God. He is our God. He is our Heavenly Father. Amen? And if we don't honor Him, He'll take us on home. He'll take you to the woodshed before He takes you home, but eventually He's going to take you home. Amen? And you could have had a long life, you know. I think about it a lot. I'm getting up there, you know. And I think about it a lot. I don't know how much longer I've got. Really don't care. Amen? I'm enjoying what I've got. Amen? I'm enjoying, hey, God has been so good to me. And I'm pastoring now the church that I was saved in. I've come full circle. My first wife and I were married there, and then the Lord took her home from there, and then He gave me Peggy, and we're loving for the Lord, amen, and serving Him. And so I'm pastoring the church I was saved in, sent out from, called to preach from. I've started five churches from, amen, and I've come full circle. My next calling may be home, amen, and that's all right. If He takes me home, that's fine. That's His business, amen. But I'm going to enjoy it as long as I'm here, amen. And I want to glorify Him. And if I can't glorify Him in the life that I live, then I pray that I'll be able to glorify Him in the death that I die. Amen. And so glorifying God has respect to all the persons of the Trinity. All the persons of the Trinity. It respects God the Father who gave us life to begin with. It respects God the Son who gave us new life. Amen. It respects the Holy Spirit of God who produces that new life. And so God gets glory through creation. Everything that He created, the Bible said, He said it was good. Amen? And it was good. And God gets glory through a home that's right. And God gets glory through a government that doesn't forget God. Amen. And God gets glory through a church that's obeying Him. You know, one of the things I believe with all my heart, one of the things that would bless every church would be if we would just obey the Master. Amen? Amen. He tells us all about what He gave us good instructions. They're clear. There's no doubt about it. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always. Amen. And so He started it. He's told us how to operate it. Amen. And He wants us to keep on until He takes it out of here. And so we want to glorify the Lord. And He gets glory from an obedient individual. An obedient individual. Honor the Lord by obeying Him. Amen. Glorify the Lord by obeying Him. The glory that God has in Himself is an inner glory. It's an intrinsic glory. Glory as is essential to the Godhead as light is to the sun. Amen. God cannot be God without His glory. Amen. And so we add to that glory, and I don't understand how I'm not God, amen, and so I don't understand everything about it. But why does He need man to glorify Him? He's got all the glory that he could have as being God. Amen. But it honors him and it glorifies him when we obey him. Amen. Our parents were well pleased, for the most part, our parents were well pleased when we obeyed them. Amen. It's pleasing to have children as long as they are obedient children. But when they become disobedient, then that doesn't, the Bible says a child left to himself shall bring his mother shame. Amen. And so, why does it happen that way? Only God knows. He made it that way. And so it's his business. But I do believe with all my heart that we are called to glorify God. Amen. We are called to glorify. Glory is a reflection of deity. Amen. You know what's wrong in most of our churches today? We have churches full of performers instead of servers. Amen. Performance. You know, I hear people all the time, you know, that person did a great performance. Well, they didn't get anything out of it if they did. Amen. Performance is not our object. Glory is not, self-glory is not our object. And that's what performance is. But when we obey Him, it is better to obey than what?
Sacrifice.
Amen. Pardon me. God can't be God without it. And His very life, the life of God, lies in His glory. Now don't get worried because God's not going to die. Amen. His glory cannot be received or be added to because it's infinite. Amen. And we can't understand infinite things. Our minds are finite. We are finite creatures. That's why it glorifies the Lord when we just obey Him. Amen. We don't have to know why. You don't have to have an answer to every reason. We just need to be obedient. Amen. What happened in the garden is exactly what has followed man all through the ages, and that is that we, instead of being obedient to God, we are always disobedient, it seems like. All came from the beginning there. And so every life, his life rather, lies in his glory. His glory cannot be received or added to because it's infinite. It is that which he must, that he most is the most tender about. If you want, you know, if you want to get God's attention, give him glory and blessing. Well, I'll tell you something else. You'll get his attention if you don't give him the glory too. You try to steal the glory of God and you'll be in trouble. Amen. You'll get attention. Amen. My dad used to say when I'd disobey, he'd say, boy, I'm going to tend to you. Amen. Amen. I'm going to tend to you. And he did. Amen. Well, no ifs, ands about it. He did. And that's what God's saying. If you steal my glory, I'm going to tend to you. And that's what's wrong with churches today. We've gotten to the point where everything is done instead of for the glory of God, but for our own performance, the glory of our performance. I don't want to get off on the wrong subject, but I'm just going to go back a little bit. Years ago, I read the book on the 10 fastest growing churches in America. And I said, I'm going to be one of those churches. And I started my first church. And God blessed it. In spite of us, He blessed it. And it grew rapidly. And we had souls. We never changed the water in the baptistry. We had filters and all that. Oh, ever so often we did. But I'm saying that the baptistry was constantly used. We were baptizing people. People were making professions of faith. Many of them, most of them were genuine. But I'd done the wrong thing. I started for the wrong reason. I was doing it for the wrong reason. I wanted to be in that next book on the 10 fastest growing churches in America. I've seen it happen, folks. The 10 fastest growing churches that were listed in that book, most of them don't even exist today. Sad to say. I mean, these were churches that were running between 5 and 10,000 people. And they're not even in existence today. Why? Because God didn't get the glory. We went to the meetings and we heard them say, this is Dr. So-and-so, and he's reaching his city for Christ. May I remind you that Jesus said, I will build my church. Amen. I will build my... He uses people, there's no doubt about it. He uses obedient people because he gets glory from that. But he never intended for us to be in competition with one another. He never intended for us to be competing all over the world. He never intended for us to do that. He intended for us to honor him, glorify him through obeying him. And if we will obey him, he will save souls and he will add to the church such as should be saved. Amen. But you can't sit down on a pew and expect that it's going to happen.
You're right.
Amen. Amen. You got to be out there knocking on doors, witnessing for the Lord. Amen. And so that honors him. That's obedience. That's what he said, going to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Who has the authority to baptize? The church. He's given that authority. Amen. So we're to start churches. We're to win souls. We're to baptize them. We're to teach them. Amen. Teach them whatever he's commanded us to teach. And so we'll look on. Isaiah says, my glory I will not give to another. Amen. A good illustration of that is in the life of Joseph. Pharaoh parted with a ring off his finger. Took the ring off his finger and gave it to Joseph. Amen. And a gold chain. But he would not part from his throne. He gave him the ring. That's the authority. Amen. But he never gave him the throne. God has given us the ring. But he hasn't given us the throne. We have access to the throne. As it was in the case of Joseph. Joseph had access to the throne because he had been given the authority of Pharaoh. And you and I have the access to the throne of God in heaven because God has given us that authority through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood of Christ gives us that authority. Amen. And he said in Genesis, Pharaoh told Joseph, only in the throne will I be greater than thee. Only in the throne. May I say to you today that God has invested that same power, that same authority into every one of us as believers, but don't abuse it. Amen. Don't abuse it because it can be taken away just as easy as it was given. You're not going to lose your salvation. No, we're not going there. But anyway, you can lose the power of God because it grieves God when we steal the glory. Amen. And also, God will do what Pharaoh did for Joseph. He'll do for his people. He'll give them the inheritance. He'll put some of the Christ of his own glory as a mediator upon them. But his essential glory he will not part with. In the throne he will always be greater. Contrary to what they teach in Mormonism, we're not all going to be gods. God is the only God. Amen. And he'll always be the only God. Amen. So, that's why Satan was cast out of heaven. Because he said, I'll send my throne above the throne of God. He's going to get bigger than God. He's going to get better than God. He's going to get all the glory of God, he thought. He got out of heaven's what happened. Because he got out of line. Amen. And so, by men and through men, the glory that is ascribed to God, by the glory which his children labor to bring to him. Amen. Why are we here? I keep asking my people that question in church. Why are you here? Why did you come? And some people might find that offensive, but we need to think on that. Why am I here this morning? Did I come here because just because I wanted to get something? Well, it's good if you get something because that glorifies God too. Amen. But we ought to have come here for the glory of God. Amen. We should have come here for everything we do. The Bible we just saw where it said that all that we do, we're to do to His glory. Amen. And 1 Chronicles chapter 16, he said, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he said, for ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Philippians 1:20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified, or the same word is glorified, in my body, whether it be life or by life or by death. What do others see in you? What do others see in me? You know, why am I up here? Why am I preaching the Word of God? Am I doing it because of the applause of men? Or am I doing it to honor Him? Am I doing it to glorify Him? That's the question. Ephesians chapter 1, we are to be the reflectors of that glory. Adam and Eve not only saw that glory, but they were clothed in that glory. But when they fell, when they sinned, they lost the garment, the glory garments, and they knew that they were naked. Amen? And so, you and I also lost the robe of God's glory through their fall, and we stand naked before God and fellow man until we receive the Lord Jesus Christ. The robe of righteousness He'll put on every person who will come with a repentant heart and will confess Him and receive Him as their Lord and Savior. And so this morning, I just wanted to share with you for these few minutes on the glory. We're not anywhere near through with what the Bible teaches about the glory of God. But there's so much to learn about the glory of God. And we know so little about it. Amen? At least by the way that we live, by the way that we act, the things that we do most of the time for self-edification. And it ought to be for the glory of God. Amen? Amen. Father, thank You for the time this morning. Now, I pray, God, that You would bless with the next speaker. I pray, God, that You would just help us, Lord, to honor You, to glorify You in everything that we do. And, Lord, when we preach the Word of God, we know that You get glory from the truth. And we thank You for it. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.